Good morning, church. How's everybody doing today? Yeah, amen. Give God a clap offering, yeah? He is worthy. He is worthy. First service, it was great. I really enjoyed preaching. I haven't been up at the pulpit in a long time. It's several years, actually. And so as I've been preparing to bring this message, God started downloading from heaven into my spirit about a couple of things, and I'll get to that in a minute and get into the message. But right now I want to show you a little video clip that I found. It's an older clip, but it's kind of apropos for moms. So, Tim?
When I move out one day, my mom will be very sad.
I feel my mom's love in my heart, like, it's right here. I'm feeling it right now.
Sometimes I love, sometimes I don't. When I'm angry, I don't.
My mom is everything to me. She just is this ray of energy and sunlight and positivity.
The thing that I wish I could have done more of is thanking her.
Didn't matter what shape I was in, I could always come home to mom. My mom was basically the glue that held me together.
When I left the Philippines, I knew that my son will be in good hands because I know my mom will take care of him.
My mom is kind of smart, you know, that smart. If I would say like 1 to 10, it would be a 5.
Maybe my poor dad got the raw end of the deal, but I do remember my mother saying to him when there was an argument about something I'd done, she says, "You don't want to hurt her spirit." I remember that.
My mom was diagnosed with a really rare disease about 12 hours before she died. So we didn't get a lot of time to talk or to say goodbye, but she did get to say that she loved me, which were her last words. And I cherish that because I've been able to hang on to it.
I'm probably going to say to my mom, "You're a wonderful person.
I tie an invisible string to my heart, and she ties the same one to her heart, and it's always attached together."
My mother, she struggled a lot with addiction. Sorry, I'm kidding. So, yeah, it was hard.
You know, you have partners, you have friends, you have kids, but there is nobody else who will ever care about you as much.
My son now always tells me, "I love you, Mama." But for 48 years, he realized I didn't say I love you to my mom.
I can think of 3 words. I forgive you.
You were a good mom. You did really good.
Thank you. I love you, Mom.
Hey, Chelsea, if moms got paid, how much do you think they should get paid in a year for being a mom?
Maybe $100?
Says it all, doesn't it? So anyhow, happy Mother's Day, ladies. I know this is not, it's a different day for a lot of women for a lot of different reasons. It's not always celebratory. But we usually spend the day going out to lunch with moms, taking them to dinner, buying them flowers, giving them candy, whatever we do traditionally in our own families. Some of us don't even have that. But, you know, bottom line is there are a lot of moms in the world, and God has blessed you with a mother. And mothers, like you heard my son Jaden say, you know, are awesome. I think women in general are awesome. I think men are awesome. But today we're celebrating Mother's Day. So we're going to talk about moms and how God intertwines with all of that. But I'm like a little off right now. First service was really easy. Second service, I'm tired. Anyhow, I was thinking about Mother's Day, and where did Mother's Day originate from? And I thought about it and talked to Joe, and we were just talking back and forth and did some research and found out that, you know, I learned something about this holiday that I never knew before, which is, and I'd like to share it with you, it actually has painful and somber roots. It didn't come about as something fun and celebratory. It was founded for mourning women to remember their fallen soldiers and for peace. It started in the 1850s when the West Virginia woman organizer Ann Reeves Jarvis held Mother's Day work clubs to improve sanitary conditions, curbing milk contamination and fighting disease to try and lower infant mortality, which at the time was about 25%. The Mother's Day work clubs eventually included tending wounded soldiers from both sides of the war, the Civil War from 1861 to 1865. It struck me, you know, that's women for you. You know, they come together. There's two guys, these guys are fighting against each other on two different sides. And these women come together to bring some unity with these men. Because that's what I think women try to do. We try to create unity. We try to create a cohesiveness with people. And these women did that at that time. And they were fighting too, mourning for their sons and husbands through prayer to stop the oppression. There are millions of mothers who, through the years, have seen their sons go off to war, and many never come back, while others return maimed for life. The sacrifice of the men was great, and equally so are the sacrifices of the mothers. They're on their knees praying for their men, their husbands, their sons, and the heartache and the tears that they are left with, praying and waiting. Who can measure the pain of a mother? It's really true, isn't it? Mother's Day was born out of a heart of grieving mothers. There truly is no heart connection as compared to a loving mother for her child. But Ann Jarvis, several years later, before she passed away, President Wilson did pass it as a national holiday in 1914, and she died in 1948. And she tried to ban Mother's Day. And the reason wasn't because she didn't want to honor mothers, but because it became so commercialized. Because we lost sight of what her purpose was, which was to bring unity and care for others. But I'm really glad we have Mother's Day. Are you glad we have Mother's Day? I'm glad it gives us an opportunity, right, to celebrate moms. And today we definitely want to honor motherhood. And I recognize it's also a very difficult day for some of you. You know, holidays don't always bring the same emotion for all of us. Some of us have gone through horrific situations with mothers, okay? You might have an indifference in your heart toward your mom. Some of you may not have wanted to come to church today. Your mother's no longer alive, and you don't really know how long she's going to still be with you. So all of us are touched differently by this day. I know there are women in this church today that have lost their children to drug overdose and to other things. And I know that sometimes coming to church is more painful for those moms, and sometimes they don't even show up. But, you know, I want to hit on something today with you ladies. Yesterday I was with you men and women. I was talking to a friend of mine who is a prophet, and we were talking about the world today and what's going on in the world and how men and women are struggling and how we as a church, okay, we're the body of Christ. We are the warriors for the kingdom. And we have a generation of kids that are being neglected, being human trafficked, that are going through really difficult, difficult things in their life. And they need us to step in and do the kingdom work of prayer and fighting back and pushing back against the enemy, because he is causing gender identity issues. He's causing all of these things. This is a thing that is a spiritual thing. There's an oppressive spirit that comes upon children when parents are not present and don't pay attention. And oftentimes it's really hard to pay attention when you yourself are going through your own personal trials and struggles inside of you, and you have kids and you're not paying attention. I want to encourage you today. Pay attention to your kids. Your kids, moms, don't want the house clean, money, clean clothes, all of these things. You know what they want? They want you. They want your time. They want your eye contact. They want to know that you love them more than anything. Because that's the Father's love for us. That's His heart toward us. And He instills that in all human beings. We all have a deep-rooted love in our hearts for one another and for our children. And you know, when I was talking to my friend and she was talking about these oppressive spirits, I mean, I was really getting geeked up. And the evil that's coming against our kids, you know, we have to fight in faith, believing God to do what He says He will do. And we have a part. We can't sit back and just wait for God to move and change things in our world. We have to fight the good fight. And this morning, when I was talking to First Service, I was thinking, we need deliverance. So many people struggle with pornography, sexual addiction, drug addiction, alcoholism. You keep falling back into the same old, same old. Why? Because you have a spirit upon your life. You do. And you need to get delivered from that spirit. And the way that you're going to get delivered from that spirit is for you to give your life to the Lord and to ask Him to deliver you and get prayer. You know, Scripture talks about how we're to think, how we're to behave, and that it tells us in Galatians that we have that power in us. And in Philippians, it tells us we have to practice it. So when God comes into your life and He delivers you from something, walk in it. Walk in it. You have the Holy Spirit in you. He loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for you. People say, oh man, but you know, I did it again. I'm doing it again. And I'm not slamming anybody here. What I'm trying to say to you is we are spirit-filled people. And we should be walking in victory. Hallelujah. I mean, we should be walking in victory. But no, we're tripping all the time about who we are, what I'm doing, what they're doing, da da da. You know, they've offended me. That's happened. It's like, why? Why? Because the enemy loves to keep you distracted. You know, so what we do is we get all geeked up in the world. And I got to tell on myself. As I started studying, because I haven't preached in a while, and I do a lot of counseling in this church, and I do other things. But I'll tell you what, the Lord convicted me so much because He said, you know something, Sandy, you've been depending on yourself for a long time now. Broke my heart because it's the truth. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him because He will direct your steps. And I've been leaning on my own understanding. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. My life has radically changed in the last 5 years. And instead of becoming more God-dependent, I became a little bit more Sandy-dependent. And I didn't recognize it until I started studying the Word of God again. I read the Word of God every single morning. It's part of my practice. It's just what I do, and I enjoy it. It wasn't always like that, but I really do enjoy it. But I want to say to you that those women who started those work clubs to bring unity and health to those men and boys fighting the wars, they were warring through the broken hearts to fight what they believed for. And we believe that Jesus Christ is a deliverer and a healer, and He will heal our land and our children. Let's fight that good fight. I'm here to tell you, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God says, humble ourselves and pray. Pray. What will He do if we do that? If we humble ourselves and pray, He will forgive our sin. And He will heal our land. The United States of America used to be a country that was just, come on, we all know. And we know now that the world is changing. And it's prayer, I really believe, needs to be implemented more. We need to pray for our country, for our children. I mean, when I was talking to my friend yesterday, I can't tell you, I was so convicted. I felt like weeping on the phone with her because of the simple fact that I think about little kids, and I remember my own childhood, which sucked eggs, and I really wanted, you know, a mom and a dad and all these things that I didn't get. It took me many, many years to navigate through all kinds of stuff, which I'm grateful that God has done that in my life. But I'll tell you, our kids, our country, and different things need prayer. And everybody can pray, and praying, like some people go, I don't know really how to pray. You just talk to God like I'm talking to you right now, exactly that way. Hey, God, you know something? You know where the kids are and you know what's happening. And Lord, I'm asking you to touch those kids. Cluck them out of the muck. Cluck them out of the muck and the mire. Jesus, they need you. We need you. I need you. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us to be a praying people. Help this church. We have prayer that meets on Sunday mornings. We used to do prayer at different times during the week. Do you know 3 or 4 people show up? Why is that? Prayer is the hardest ministry to get off the ground in a church. It's amazing. People don't want to come and pray. And unity and bringing each other together is a wonderful thing. You see things change. You really do, and you get to be part of it. It's amazing. I just want to encourage all of you. If you're not a praying warrior today, become one. Become one. We all believe and know that we can rejoice and find great comfort and experience in the love of God, because he is our identity. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. And mothers love us regardless of what we do, because they don't look only at our actions. They look at our hearts. And that's why a mother's love is the closest thing to God's love that we can imagine. God does the same thing. He looks at our hearts. God loves us with an unmerited love called grace, and he's given that same capacity to a mother's heart. He gives us grace, mercy, love, kindness, compassion. It's just like, you know, when David was going to be anointed king, and they were all going, well, wait a minute, it's David, and he looks a certain way, and so on and so forth, you know, and Saul was kind of going, wait a minute, God, and God said, look, you know what? Man looks at the outward appearance. How many of us try to do all this and that? Because, you know, this is who I am. No, it isn't. That is not who you are. Who you are is here. And God looks at the heart, and he knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows all of us so intimately well, and he loves us so much. I've had to repent and just say to the Lord, you know what, Jesus? I love you so much, and sometimes I don't act like it. It's like I look a lot like the world sometimes. We look a lot like the world. The church is looking more and more like the world. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying to you. I am not condemning you, putting you down. I don't want you to walk out of here feeling bad today. I'm trying to say to you, we are the church and we are Holy Spirit-led people. And we need to live and walk in the truth of who God says we are, not who the world says we are. The enemy is a liar. So, God looks at the heart, just like Isaiah says in Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Just like a good mother comforts us, so will God comfort us. Jerusalem represents and symbolizes home, you know, a place to belong. We belong to God. The Lord loves us. He is our home. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our hope. He is our joy. He is our rock. He is our foundation. God has such great plans for every single one of you in this room. And sometimes we lose sight of that because we get into the mundane of everyday living. We all came into the world through our mothers. And today we're asking him to bless each one of them. But I also wanted to hit upon a deeper meaning about, you know, moms, not only to honor them because they gave us life physically, but to honor our one true parent, God, who gave us life at all levels, physically, intellectually, and spiritually. And as we remember our mothers, let's thank God for them and for our lives that were ordained through him, through those women. Mother's Day focuses on, you know, the appreciation, the love, support, and the gratitude. But some of us, like I mentioned earlier, didn't have a great mom. Nonetheless, you can still be grateful for much. I want to share this proverb with you that years ago the Lord gave to me because I was going through a season with my parents and my mom. My father's been dead since 1975. My mother's 96 years old. She's still alive today. She's deaf. My parents are deaf. I grew up signing. I grew up in deaf culture. And my parents just weren't present. And for a long time, I had a lot of animosity and anger in my heart toward my mom and my dad. Not my dad so much as my mother. I used to say things like, I hate her, I disdain her, she's worthless, blah, 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 because I did not understand the love of God and I did not understand the healing power of God. And I went through these changes with the Lord, and I was praying. I was like, God, I hate feeling this way. I don't want to be this. And the Lord gave me this verse, and I was a brand new believer at the time. Psalm 27:10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. That hit me. God's always been a part of my life. Always. I didn't grow up in the church, but I always believed in God. I always believed that he was real, and I always believed he could make things happen. But I always believed, too, that he had his favorite people, and all of you were it, and I was not. And anybody relate to that? So anyhow, I realized then that God loved me and that my parents, really, they did the best they could with what they had, and many of us have heard that. And even that ticked me off back in the day. I said, but they did a job. And anyway, it's taken me years, but I have come to the conclusion that forgiveness is key. We have to forgive people. And back to that scripture verse for a minute. There was a pastor back in 1901, Louis Albert Banks. He was a theologian. And he wrote on this verse, and he said, are you lonely? Here's a chance to creep into the motherly arms of God and find peace. Are you sorrowful? You may come and put your head upon his breast and weep there and find infinite comfort. Are you sinful? Then there is a heart throbbing with infinite compassion and pity and love. Come pillow your head here and find forgiveness. The Lord is so gracious and kind and good, and that as children of God, we can climb up into his lap and allow the Lord to heal those broken areas in our hearts. Because all of us have backgrounds that we come from, and sometimes life just isn't easy to navigate. But, you know, I had a wonky childhood just like so many of us do. And God has been so faithful to show me that throughout my lifetime, he brought people into my life. One of them was a godmother. When I was 5 years old, I was baptized a Lutheran. And this godmother that God gave to me took my older brother and I out and would take us and dress us up. And she took me to beauty shops. She taught me to eat with a knife and a fork, you know. She taught me how to say the now I lay me down to sleep prayer. And she taught me a little bit about God. So I was really blessed by her. And I knew that she loved me because she spent time with me. And she nurtured me. And then I had a probation officer. I had a lot of them, but this particular one, she was amazing, and I'll never forget her. Her name was Sarah Hill, and I remember the first time I met her, I was locked up. She came in sitting across from me, looking at me, and just said, you know, Sandy, if you walk around looking like a $5 prostitute, you're probably going to get treated like one, too. And I remember going, oh, you know, really, lady, who the hell do you think you are? And anyway, she said to me, I'm telling you something right now today, and I want you to do what I tell you to do. And if you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm going to lock you up. And of course, in my head, I'm like, okay, maybe. And, you know, I always had to test the waters and the little rebellious spirit that I have that sometimes still is in me. Kind of tested the waters, and she locked me up. And I appreciated and respected that woman because she kept her word to me. And I didn't have a lot of adults in my life that kept their word to me. They didn't provide basic necessities half the time. So when I look back and I look at the fingerprint of God throughout my life, he brought me people that mothered me and nurtured me. And some of you might have some of the same experiences. Forgiveness is key. We need to learn how to forgive. We need to learn how to let our parents off the hook. And you know, there are other things that we need to forgive. We as mothers need to learn to forgive ourselves. We are not a perfect parent, only God is. But God will teach us how to be a better parent. Kind of like that thing that guy wrote. I think about that, you know, crawl up into God's lap, do this, do that. And back in the day, I didn't get that kind of stuff. I'd say, what are you talking about? How do you crawl up into God's lap? How do you do A, B, C? I don't get it. Well, you know, if you close your eyes, be still, and know that I am God, quiet yourself down, which is really hard. I think the older I'm getting ADHD. Because I get squirrel all the time. It's like, I'll be doing something, it's squirrel. It's like, oh my God, you know. But, and I'm dead serious. It's like so trippy to me. Because I didn't used to be that way. It was very hyper-focused. And I'm kind of a serious person, but I'm very funny too. And I'm going to try to make you laugh. No. So anyhow. I lost my train of thought. Yeah, see? It just happened. But I really do thank God that he brought people into my life to help me survive. Because life was very confusing. But you know, when I became a believer, the Lord told me that me and my household would serve the Lord. And I didn't meet Jesus till I was 40. I was in Alcoholics Anonymous for many years. And I met him. And he told me that, and it was in the book of Acts, and I thought, I had never read that scripture verse, but he told me, and then it was about a year later, I was in the book of Acts, and I saw that about the jailer and his household was saved, and that he and his household would be saved. And I went, wow, the Lord spoke that to me. And today I can tell you that my son Jaden walks with the Lord very strong. He's 16 years sober. His wife, yeah, thank you. And his wife walks with the Lord, and they're raising my granddaughter in the church. Some of you may be very grieved about your kids that are not walking with the Lord. I know I am. I have a son who's still out there. And it's hard. It's hard. And I remember when Jaden was out there, and it was hard. And I remember Teresa and I would come up to the altar and we would pray for our kids. And it was hard. And now Jaden is sober. And I'm standing on the promise of God that me and my household will serve the Lord. My mother lived a very colorful life. She's 96 years old. She lives in a retirement home. I see her every Sunday. And I take care of everything for my mom. My whole life I've been a caretaker of my parents and others. Codependency issues and all those things, you know. Me too, you know. It's like you tell me, I counsel a lot of people. They come in and talk to me about stuff and I go, oh, yeah, me too. Me too, I've struggled with that. Or I still struggle with that. But my mother, my 96-year-old mother, who didn't really believe in God, she received the Lord with me. Yeah. About 2 months ago. And it was so cool because I remember sitting there in her little room and just saying to her, you know, because I've told her the stories from the Bible and I've told her, you know, she's like, And finally that day, I don't know why, but I said, Mom, do you believe in God? She goes, mm-hmm. And I said, do you know Jesus? She goes, mm-mm. I said, you want to know Jesus? She said, mm-hmm. I said, okay. So I told her, repeat after me. And she did. And I was like, so like, whoa, God, you're so awesome, right? It's like I couldn't even believe it. But now my mom's born again, and I know that my mom's going to go into heaven, and I'm going to see her again someday. Yeah, hallelujah. So the Bible is very clear about how we're to treat our parents. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This verse has a blessing attached to it. And it's repeated throughout the Old and the New Testament. Honor your father and your mother. Doesn't say if they're good parents or bad parents. It says honor your father and your mother. And that's what we learn to do. We learn to honor them regardless. And we learn to forgive them. And we learn to let people off the hook instead of holding them to that place that we think that they should have been or they should have done. But what does it mean to honor your father and your mother? The Oxford English Dictionary says honor means to regard with great respect or high esteem. It also describes honor as something regarded as a rare opportunity and bringing pride and pleasure, a privilege. Both describe what it means to honor your parents. So to respect them and to hold them in high esteem. And sometimes it's really hard to do that if you have parents that weren't really great parents. But when honoring your parents and showing them that respect and accepting their authority, obeying them, appreciating them is honoring to God. And you get a blessing because of that. We honor the Lord. Today, though my mom wasn't present throughout my life, I forgive her, I love her, I have a good relationship with her today. Besides, she's got dementia and she makes up stories about my childhood that I really like. She'll tell me things and I'll say, oh, really? Yeah, okay, Mom, good. You know, she's, remember when you were da-da-da? Oh, sure. And, you know, dementia is terrible, and I'm not trying to make fun of it. Like, it's not something that's heart-wrenching. But, you know, it's interesting, the stories that my mom can tell me that are not real. But the reason I talk about mothers that haven't been present or capable of loving you in the way that you need it is because you may struggle with it. I know I did for many years. And when I looked for a card to give my mom, you know, those syrupy Mother's Day cards that are like, Mom, you are just so wonderful. And yeah, and I would go, I don't know. I had to keep looking, you know. And to this day, I buy a card for my mom. I think the one I bought for her this year, it's these cats, and they're on the front. And you open it up and they're all dancing, Happy Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day. It's like, okay. Or I give her a card that says, Happy Mother's Day. I love you because I do love her. But I'm not going to tell my mother all these things when I don't believe them. And I don't believe that's what God is saying to us. I just believe he wants us to honor our parents, forgive our parents. And even though God has changed my heart and I forgive and love my mom, I know a lot of us struggle with that. But we gain wisdom and maturity as we mature in the Lord, the longer we walk with God and we examine our own hearts and our own weaknesses, we start to realize, you know, I have these same kind of issues. I do certain things too that might be similar to that. It gives you more ability once you start examining your own heart to be more gracious and kind to other people because, you know, we're just all human and we all struggle. Mom struggled too. Dad struggled too. So no matter what, we can always pray for our moms and honor them because, you know, God loves our moms. And God's loved us even when we were lost in our sins. So let's pray for our mothers. Let's pray for our children. Let's be a warring generation and fight the kingdom fight for what we know God is calling us to do. I'm sure that the Lord ministers to each of you in your own way. You have your own relationship with God like you do with your friends or with, you know, your spouse or your children or whatever. And God's always ministering to us, always downloading, showing us things that we need to do so that we can live a life that's full of joy and full of hope and full of prosperity to our souls. But oftentimes, if we ignore those things, then we'll find ourselves, you know, losing our joy, spun out, not enjoying life. You know, I remember for years, I used to think, what is life even about? And why am I even here? And it wasn't until I got sober in AA in 1980 that life started to make some sense. And how that all came about for me, the Lord was so gracious to me. Jaden was 2.5 years old, and I was a single mom. Never married his dad, and I was an interpreter for the deaf, and the Lord opened up this door for me to go and interpret for this guy at Stanton Detox. And back in those days, it was called Stanton Detox. The house and everything that's there today wasn't there. It was very, very different. And then across the street, Rocky's house was there for sober living, and I was there interpreting for this guy. And on Friday, when I was getting ready to leave, I said to the lady, I said, I'm going to come back Monday, but I'm going to be hungover. And she looked at me and she goes, Sandy, normal people don't think like that. And I'm like, everybody I know does. So anyway, that was the beginning of the end for me. So I continued on interpreting for this guy. And then a couple months later, I stood up in my first AA meeting and said, I'm Sandy, I'm an alcoholic. And my knees were actually knocking together because I felt so scared. How am I going to live without it? How am I going to do my life without it? Not knowing that it was a God thing. But the untiring love of a mother serves to point us to the one that is greater, to God's love. And God did that for me in sobriety. He took me to meet Jesus. And I'm so grateful for that. I met him in my living room. I had a relapse at 12 years of sobriety. And I met Jesus in my living room. And it was one of the most phenomenal days of my life. And it's a story for another time. But the Lord began to show me different things. Sobriety took me so far. And then when I relapsed, God showed me some more things about I needed Jesus. AA is wonderful. I love it. It's a bridge. It's awesome. But I needed Jesus. So in Scripture, Isaiah 66:13 says, as a mother comfort her child, so I will comfort you. That is a beautiful scripture if you think about it. It's one of the sweetest and tenderest pictures of the character of God. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And that's a revelation that's not in the New Testament, but it's in the Old. In the New Testament, Jesus teaches us to think of God as our Father. But here in the Old Testament, God is liking him to a mother. So God is our Father, but he is also our mother. There's a tenderness and a kindness that he has towards us that we experience ourselves toward other people. But I think especially mothers have that gift. Women have that gift. The persistent love of a good mother points us to the love we see in Jesus. For those of you who had a good mom, who had a mom that loved you despite your foolishness, you may be more able to understand what it means that God won't quit on you because your mom's deep love didn't quit on you. So you get that. For us who didn't, you may struggle a little bit more with it. And you know, it's okay. Go to God. Take it to the Lord. Let God heal the brokenness in you. It is so worth it to do the work and to allow the Lord to touch you. Love heals. Love heals. How many times you have a friend that comes up to you and talks to you about something they're really hurting or whatever, and you're gentle and kind, and you speak truth over them, and you love them, and you just let them know that they matter, they're important, and you see them change, right? Why? Because love heals. And you know, some of us don't think we're so lovable because of the way we grew up, or because of, you know, the parents who didn't love us well. I want to say to you, that's from the pits of hell. That's from the pits of hell. And you need to rebuke that and reject that and know that you are loved, that you matter, you are important, and that God sees you and knows you. You don't have to hide from him. You don't have to pretend. Lean into God's love. What's awesome about the love of God is that he shows it most often in the strangest places, to the weirdest, coolest people like us. And most often he does it for the best and the brightest, the most lovable, but instead he doesn't do it for the best and the brightest, the most lovable, but instead chooses the small, weak, foolish, pitiable, faltering, falling down and out, unlovable people that no one would pick. You ever felt that way? But special people, that's us. That's who we are. And we are very lovable and loved by God. I want to look at a few mothers in the Bible. And none of them was perfect, but each showed a strong faith in God. And God, in turn, rewarded them for their confidence in him. As we grow in our knowledge and wisdom of who God is and what he's done and how Jesus died on that cross for us, we begin to change and be molded and shaped to see through a different lens and to navigate our life differently. So the Lord is so good to us that way. So these mothers, women back in the Old Testament, and many, and I'm sure all of you have read some of these stories, you know, that was an age where your identity was about how many kids you could have and all of that. And you were, you know, you were to be a blessing to your husband by giving children. And when you didn't, you were criticized and judged, and you were frowned upon. And so it was a big deal to women to give childbirth, and especially to have sons. But these mothers lived in that age where they were treated as second-class citizens. Motherhood is one of life's highest calling, and to learn how mothers in the Bible put their hope in God of the impossible and how he proved that such hope is always well-placed. This is another good reason I know and I believe that we need to pray for future generations. Our hope is in God for restoration. Our hope is in God to make crooked paths straight. Our hope is in God to give us new thoughts, new beginnings, new life, so that we can impart that into the upcoming generations. If you haven't hung out with the youth or don't know the youth, introduce yourself to them. Those kids need us. They need to know who we are, you know, what life is about. Just model for them. Just be there for them. Just give them a little bit of your time. Honest to Pete, they love it so much because you're giving them attention. Because I think kids look at adults like, you know, they don't really care about me. They're not really present. They're not, you know, I really do believe that. I know I did. And I used to think adults, you know, I really didn't need them. Especially so many of our kids struggle and suffer. But anyway, back to the moms in the Bible. Eve was the first woman and the first mother. Without a single role model or mentor, she paved the maternal way to become mother of all the living. And her name means living thing or life. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, is one of the underappreciated mothers in the Bible. Yet she also showed tremendous faith in God. She gave birth to Moses at a time when they were going to slaughter all the little boys. And she decided to put him in a basket and send him down the Nile River. And he's floating down the Nile River. And Pharaoh's daughter finds him and picks him up out of the water. And it's like, oh, wow. And then she says to the servant girl, you know what, go find me a nursing mom. I need someone to take care of this baby. And she goes, and who does she find? She finds Moses' mother. So she brings back Moses' mother, and she is nursing Moses and teaching him about, you know, their Jewish heritage, the Israelites, and paved the way for him to be able to grow up and know Jesus, to know about Jesus and to know God. So the influence of his mother on his life through his very formative years. And sometimes as moms, we can worry about our kids and what's going to happen with them and how things are going to turn out for us. And if God can do this, right, where he makes that crooked path straight, he can take care of your kids too. You got to trust it, believe it, pray over it. It's like, we have a part too. But these women were just so amazing. And then Hannah, you know, she's one of the most touching stories in the Bible. She was barren for a long time, and Hannah couldn't have kids, and her husband's other wife picked on her constantly. Picked on her, picked on her, picked on her, because she couldn't have kids. And she kept praying and saying, Lord, Lord, you know, if you give me a child, I will bless you with my child. And he finally did. She had Samuel. And she's raising Samuel up, but she said to God, I will give him to the priesthood. I will give him to you. And so she did that, a sacrificial love of a mother. Mothers make sacrifices. In today's culture and society, they do that too. They give their babies up for adoption. They do certain things for the sacrifice of their child. They want their child to have a better life. Not because they don't love you. Sometimes that might be the case, but I don't really think so. I think it really comes from a place of sacrifice so that you will have a better life elsewhere than with her. So Hannah had Samuel, and she gave him to the Lord, and the Lord blessed her with 5 more kids. God's amazing what he does in our lives. He just helps us through so much, and he's always, God loves to love us. God loves to bless us. He really does. But you know what? Sometimes it's really hard in our flesh. And I want to encourage you, walk in the Spirit. And if you don't know what that means, get into your Bible. Get into your Bible and ask God to show you the difference between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit, because there is a difference. When it's about the flesh, it's all about you. It's all about you. When you're walking in the Spirit, you start thinking about other people. You start thinking about bigger picture stuff. You start thinking about stuff that really isn't about you. That's a way to check yourself. Think about what you're thinking about, too. This thing right here is out to get us. You know, I remember years ago in AA, they used to say, this isn't a good neighborhood to be alone in. And then there was a speaker that was a dynamic speaker years ago, and he said, you know, I wake up in the morning, and my head goes, hi, I've been waiting for you. That stuff resonated with me. The other thing in AA that I heard that resonated with me is, I don't think too highly of myself, but I'm all I think about. And that's so true. And I don't think that's just for AA. I think that's for people in general. So Hannah's case, she was really cruelly taunted by her husband's wife, but she never gave up. And God favored her with 5 more kids. And just like Hannah, before her, Elizabeth dedicated her son to God. Just like Hannah's son. And he also became a great prophet, John. John the Baptist. And Elizabeth's joy, she was full of joy when Mary came to visit her, pregnant, with the future Savior of the world. Mary was the most honored mother in the Bible, the human mother of Jesus, who saved the world from its sins. Although she was a young, humble peasant, Mary accepted God's will for her life. And you know, she suffered enormous shame and pain. Yet she never doubted God for a moment. She stood highly favored by God. A shining example of obedience and submission to the Father's will. You know, sometimes women suffer. They lose their kids. And it's just so unnatural to lose a child before you, the parent, passes away. And that's a grief, a deep grief. But to think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and what she went through to watch her son go through that beating, the rejection, hanging on that cross, I cannot think of a mother who has suffered more torment and pain than Mary. These stories of these great mothers also had times of great struggle and hardships. Mothers who handed their children over to someone else to raise because they thought it was best for their child, or they were asked to do so. That is a sacrificial love. The sacrifices of motherhood last throughout our lifetimes. We're always sacrificing for our children. And we don't stop becoming mothers because our children grow up. We're always their mother. We may no longer be intricately involved in their lives, but we're still mom. We're always mom. These women of the Bible are great examples of mothers who loved their kids and honored God with how they lived and raised them. And I think it's wonderful, like back there is a little baby in the room with us. And you know, just thinking about the fact that that baby is in the church. I remember my granddaughter Mariah when she was just a dink. She's still a dink, but she's a bigger dink. She was worshiping God, and she was, and she'd lose her balance, and then she'd go back to it, you know. And I think that's so precious and so awesome and so wonderful. She may not even know what she's doing, but you know what? Something's getting formed inside of her heart, inside of her mind. She's recognizing and realizing. She's looking around and seeing these people. It's being modeled for her. And that's what I'm talking about. Let's model for our kids. Let's model for the next generation. Let's help the next generation through being mighty warriors for Christ and praying people through, doing our kingdom work. It isn't about this life. This one ends, and we're going to heaven. But while we're here, we're called to pray. We're called to intercede. We're called to fight the good fight. And oftentimes we come to church, we hear messages, we hear truth. It hits your heart. You walk out the door, it's done. You know, I want to tell you and encourage you, all of you are amazing people. And I know that God has a call in each of your lives. And if you're not a prayer warrior, become one. Just become one. Every day just pray. And how do you pray? You just talk to God like I'm talking to you today. Just talk to God. Proverbs 31:25-27 talks about women and who they are. And it's this verse oftentimes causes women and mothers to feel inferior because it's like, I can't obtain that. It's almost like perfection. And that's not the purpose of the scripture. The purpose of it is to give you a guideline. The whole book of the Bible is a guideline. It's saying, if you do these things, your life will work. But oftentimes we pick and choose, right? So strength and honor are her clothing. She is confident about the future. Her mouth is full of wisdom. Kindly teaching is on her tongue. She is vigilant over the activities of her household. She doesn't eat the food of laziness. This is a woman who is honoring in her home. She pays attention to how she's talking to her kids. She uses wisdom. And she thinks about the future and what's going to come and how she can plan for that. She doesn't idly sit around and just wait for life to happen. I remember when my kids were little and I had anger issues and I had all these different things going on in me. And my tongue would get the best of me. And I would be so distraught because I hated yelling at my kids. I could see fear in their eyes looking back at me. And I remember talking to in an AA meeting one time, and this lady afterwards came up to me and she said, Sandy, just start the day over. Start the day over with your kids. And I thought, okay. So I go home and I'm starting to have a meltdown. I tell my kids, I gotta go, I need a timeout, I gotta go, and I'd lock myself in the bathroom. Or if I would lose it, I would say, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, mom is wrong. I'd sit down on the floor, meet them, and then I would look at them and say, you don't deserve that. That was not nice. I should not treat you like that. We're going to start the day over. And then as time went on, I remember one time I started to get angry, and my son Ryan looked at me and he said, Mommy, let's start the day over. And I was like, okay. So you learn from your kids too, right? Being humble with your children is a good thing. You know, she was full of wisdom, and kindly teaching is on her tongue. She's kind to her kids, and if she makes a mistake, she owns it. She's vigilant over the activities of her household. She's always thinking about how to make sure that her house is running well and the people that she's given authority over to take care of, she's doing a good job. Don't let these verses make you feel inadequate. That is not the purpose of them. But motherhood is about sacrifice. And going through childbirth in and of itself is difficult. It's painful. But we do it again and again and again because it's so worth it. It's so, so worth it. You know, it's a lot to bear, but kids are so worth it. And I know there are a lot more good mothers than there are not so good mothers. When I was 25, I got pregnant with Jaden. I was a single mom. And I remember thinking to myself, how am I going to do this? But Jaden changed the trajectory of my life. That story I told you about going into Stanton and interpreting for that guy, Jaden was a big part of that because I knew I wanted to live different, but I did not know how. I wanted to do life different, and I did not know how. So when I went to Stanton Detox and I'm interpreting for that guy and I'm getting all this new information, and all I'm thinking about is my little boy because I want to raise my child in a functional home. I don't want to raise him in dysfunction. And I want to be present. I don't want to be drunk and loaded all the time. So I made a choice. And I went, I'm not going to do that anymore. I want to raise him in a different environment. So he and my other son, Ryan, grew up in a house where there was no alcohol. It wasn't crazy. My kids went to the same schools. They, you know, got fed three meals a day. And I was present. Did I do 100% good job? No. I have many things that I regret that I look back and wish I would have done. I wish I would have made more memories with them as little kids. But you know what? I was present. And you ladies and you grandmas and whomever you have in your care, be present. God is faithful. And my kids grew up with a lot more stability than I had. And for that, I am grateful. God ministers to us in our own brokenness so that we can minister to others. And it's an amazing thing in the way that he works through it. And he brings us great joy in motherhood. I can't think of a bigger honor than being a mom. I loved being a mom. And I didn't think I would. I really never really wanted to have kids. I used to think, I don't want kids, you know. I just don't know how I would do that. But the truth is, it's one of the greatest blessings I've ever experienced. And I have two sons, and I think they're both amazing men. And I'm so grateful that I got to be a part of their lives through all the years. And in closing, I want to read to you a little poem that I thought was really apropos for women and for moms. First off, would all the mothers stand up, please? Let's give them a hand. Thank you for what you do and how you sacrifice on a daily basis for your kids. And you know, it's a give and a take relationship. And we know oftentimes there's more take than give. But you know what? Bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you peace. And may he download from heaven in your spirit to be able to raise your children up in the way that they should go so they will not depart from it. Thank you, ladies. God bless you. So before I was a mom, I made and ate hot meals. I had unstained clothing. I had a quiet conversation on the phone. Before I was a mom, I slept as late as I wanted and never worried about how late I got into bed. I brushed my hair and my teeth every day. Before I was a mom, I cleaned my house each day. I never tripped over toys or forgot words to lullabies. Before I was a mom, I didn't worry whether or not my plants were poisonous. I never thought about immunizations. Before I was a mom, I had never been puked on, pooped on, spit on, chewed on, peed on, or pinched by tiny fingers. I had complete control of my mind, my thoughts, and my body. I slept all night. Before I was a mom, I never held down a screaming child so that doctors could do tests or give shots. I never looked into teary eyes and cried. I never got gloriously happy over a simple grin. I never sat up late hours at night watching a baby sleep. Before I was a mom, I never held a sleeping baby just because I didn't want to put it down. I never felt my heart break into a million pieces when I couldn't stop the hurt. I never knew that something so small could affect my life so much. I never knew that I could love someone so much. I never knew I would love being a mom. Before I was a mom, I didn't know the feeling of having the heart, my heart, outside of my body. I didn't know how special it could feel to feed a hungry baby. I didn't know that bond between a mother and her child. I didn't know that something so small could make me feel so important. Before I was a mom, I had never gotten up in the middle of the night every 10 minutes to make sure all was okay. I had never known the warmth, the joy, the love, the heartache, the wonderment, or the satisfaction of being a mom. I didn't know I was capable of feeling so much love before I was a mom. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. I hope you have a blessed day and you are honored well today. Thank you.